not, and I could have used one. So I got a nap and a cup down there. There was some coffee left over, so I chugged one down, hopefully to give me some energy. But it's good to see everyone back. I hope you've been blessed with this weekend. I'm a little upset that tonight is the last service of the revival. I was going to tell the pastor, I said, hey, I mean, let's come back tomorrow night. I'll preach if you guys want to keep going church. I'm enjoying this church every night thing, but it's been a great blessing. I just want to thank Pastor Tim Cross for being here. He's been a blessing to us. Yes, I hope we've been a blessing to him as well. The messages that he's preached has really helped me. And I'm thankful for it. Brother Ralph, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Father, again, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. We thank you for your word. As Brian has just mentioned, we are very thankful for the man of God who you have sent our way to be a blessing to us, and he has definitely done that. And we pray tonight as he continues that you would guide and direct him and what you would have him say, and that we would receive from you what you would have for us. May we not just hear your word, but may we apply it. So often we may do that for a period of time and then we forget. So I'm praying that for my own life as well as the rest of us here, that your spirit continue to bring those things to our remembrance and help us to, as we noted in our study of 2 Peter, it's easy to forget what you have done for us and therefore go off on our own path instead. And when we do so, it just brings grief and heartache to our lives. So help us not to do that, but rather continue on the path that we need to be on, according to your will. Thank you now for our time together. We pray that you would be honored and glorified in the service. We pray that the songs that we sing and the message that we hear all point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's it all. Please stand and turn with me to page 785. 785. Yes, I know. Savior.
Amen.
He's not in the grave anymore. He lives.
Come on.
Thankful for that. If you were to, would, turn over with me to page 388. We're going to kind of follow suit here as we did for Sunday school and the Sunday morning service. This is one of my favorite. I think this may be my favorite. We're going to get Jason to start us off with the piano, and we're going to sing this one out a cappella.
Thank you. Amen. Good stuff tonight. Amen. Glad we have promises to stand on. Glad we have a Savior to sing about. Glad He's given us a Bible to read to point us in the right direction and lead in God and direct us in our daily life. Yeah, like Brian said, I hate to see this evening come to a close. As revival services come to a close, brother, it's been a blessing for me. Thank you. I don't know what else to say. Just thank you. Thank you for your willingness to come up to a church you didn't know about. Thank you for coming to a pastor that you didn't know. I'm very, very, very grateful for the opportunity to meet you and to be in church tonight. Brethren, these last 3 or 4 days here, 3 days, have been a definitely needed, and I think God has met with us. I believe that. I believe God's given what's needed. I'm looking forward to this last hour here to see what the Lord's laid on Brother Kratz's heart. Please keep him in prayer as he travels on out tomorrow to another meeting, that God would be with him, protect and watch him, watch over him, and be with his wife, Haley, and keep her in prayer with her parents and just what she's dealing with them and their health issues. And just Bear Trail Baptist Church down in Virginia. Keep them in prayer that they just stay faithful, continue to fight the good fight of faith for the Lord, and stay faithful to the end till God calls us all home through either the way of the grave or the rapture, that we just be found faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Brother Kratz, come on up, brother. Amen.
To be here these last 3 days, I certainly have enjoyed the fellowship, and this church has certainly been a blessing to me. I have enjoyed the singing. I've enjoyed meeting you folks, and I appreciate your pastor, Brother Chris, asking us to come, as he made mention of last night. We had never met until Friday afternoon when he met me at the motel. We had talked on the phone a few times, and I appreciate him having the confidence to ask me to come and to preach to his church. That's no light matter. That's nothing you take lightly. And so I certainly have been honored to be here. It's been a great blessing to me getting to know you folks. And I've certainly enjoyed the fellowship. And I hope we can come back again sometime. And hopefully our wife can come maybe one of these days if we're able to do that. And we certainly have enjoyed it a great deal. Thank you so much, Pastor. Your family has been a blessing to us. Thank you for the accommodations, place I've been staying, the meals, the food. Just been a blessing all the way around, and I thank you for it. As the pastor mentioned, I am leaving tomorrow, traveling to another part of the state of Pennsylvania. I'll be preaching at a Bible conference there this week. And I certainly desire your prayers if you'd like to pray for me, if you think about it sometime during the week. I'd sure appreciate that. We'll start back home on Friday. And today is the fifth Sunday. Every time there is a fifth Sunday, we have a youth Sunday night at our church. And so we have 5 young men, teenagers, who will be preaching in our church tonight. And so you pray for them if you think about it. That's a great blessing to us. And I certainly appreciate those young men. There are many, several of them, 3 of them, I believe, are in our Bible Institute. And so we certainly do appreciate that. It's a great blessing to be able to have a help to train young people in the ministry, and I certainly hope the Lord uses them for great things in the future. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with us, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1. I have enjoyed my time here, and I certainly hope the Lord will help us to preach tonight in such a way as to be an encouragement and a blessing to your heart. I want to preach tonight with the Lord's help on our faithful witness. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse number 10, and then we'll pray together. May go ahead and read verse 11 as well, just because the sentence don't end in verse 10. But we'll only mention some things through verse 10, primarily preach from only one phrase and one verse. But I want to read this tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, who is in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Samaria, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great privilege, this great opportunity, Lord, that we've had these last few days to meet these wonderful people in this great little church. Lord, would you help us to be a help to them tonight? Would you help us in this final sermon, Lord, to encourage them and encourage their walk with Christ? And Lord, there may be one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Be a great day to get born again. Would you help us, Lord, to preach your word? Help us to preach it with power. Help us to preach it with love. Help us to preach it with compassion. And Lord, we sure do need your help to do that. And we'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic that I want to use for my sermon this afternoon is found in verse number 5, and it is simply this: Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. This is only one of the many titles given for our Savior in the book of Revelation. In fact, the book of Revelation lists more titles for our Savior than any other book of the Bible. In chapter 1 alone of the book of Revelation, it gives us no less than 8 titles for our Savior. I'll mention them quickly. First of all, Jesus Christ in verse 1 and 2. Second of all, the faithful witness in verse number 5. Number 3, the first begotten of the dead in verse number 5. Number 4, the prince of the kings of the earth in verse number 5 as well. Number 5, the Alpha and Omega found in verse 8. The Son of Man found in verse 13. The first and last found in verse 17. And the keeper of the keys of hell and death found in verse number 18. Now, along with those great truths, there are more Old Testament quotations and references in the book of Revelation than there are in any other book of the New Testament. In fact, the first 10 verses of this book could be outlined as such. We'll look at it just in a moment. But John, the beloved apostle, he received this message from the Lord and he delivered it as such. So it could be outlined as this: the source of the message in verse number 1 is given by the Father to the Son. It's given by the Son to an angel, and it's given by the angel to his servant John. The promise of the message, the second thing in verse number 3, it's the only book in the Bible that has this promise. And the Bible says this: blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. The third thing we see is the reason for the message, also found in verse number 3, and that is, for the time is at hand. The recipients of the message is seen in verse number 4, and that's the seven churches which are in Asia. The theme of the message is found in verses 5 through 7, and it deals with the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, And that work is threefold in this passage. There is redemption. The Bible says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's sanctification, the Bible says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And verse number 6. Now, I don't claim to know everything there is to know about that king and priest. I do know this. Since I've been born again, the Lord Jesus Christ has given me the ability and the tools to be the king over this clunk of flesh, which I did not have before. You see, before you're saved, the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, it says there that ye are of the of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Because I've been born again, because you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we have the tools to be the king over this clunk of flesh. I'm sure I'm glad of that. And the Bible says he's made us kings and priests unto God. Now, I know that there's some more to that, so don't look down on me too much. I'm talking about some practical things. As a priest, we've been made a priest. That means that we have access to God at any time. Amen. We can go to our God in prayer. We don't have to go through a man or anything such as that. We have access to God as kings and priests unto the Father. So there's sanctification, and then there's glorification. The Bible says in verse number 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. The sixth thing we see is the praise of the message. The Bible says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, there's no one other than the Lord Jesus Christ deserves honor and praise. That's for sure. And he talks about dominion. He is in power. He has supreme authority. We have number 7. We have the location of the message. It's from the isle that is called Patmos in verse number 9. We have in verse number 10, we have the time of the message. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Then we have number 9, we have the mode of the message. He said, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet in verse number 10. So here in these verses, verses 4 through 8 of this chapter, it gives us evidence of the Trinity. Now I like this. In verses 5 and verse number 6, the Bible tells us three things that Jesus is and three things that Jesus did. The Bible says this in verse number 5, talking about three things that he is the faithful witness. I mean, that's an emphatic article. There is not another. He is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten of the dead, and he is the prince of the kings of the of life. So that's three things that he is. Here's three things that he did in those verses. He loved us, he washed us, and he made us. Boy, I like that, don't you? And so great truths from the Bible. Now, verse number 5 also reveals the three offices of the Savior. We won't take time to deal with that this evening, but it deals with the three offices of the Savior, which is the prophet, priest, and king. Now, the thing that I want to talk to you about this afternoon, and hope the Lord will help me to be a blessing to you with, is just this one thing in verse number five, and that is, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. There's not another, amen. He is the only faithful witness. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 5, that a faithful witness will not lie. Under no circumstances at all whatsoever will a faithful witness lie. He'll never deviate from the truth. He won't lie to keep from hurting your feelings, and he won't lie to keep from offending you. He won't lie to protect himself or to protect you. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is a faithful witness. I like this in the book of Lamentations. In chapter 3 and verse number 22, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Ain't that a blessing? We have the mercies of the Lord. It is of the mercies of the Lord that we're not consumed, and his compassions fail not, and those things are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know what's comforting to know? When I get up in the morning, there's going to be a fresh supply of God's mercy. There's going to be a fresh supply of God's compassion, and his faithfulness will not fail. Great is thy faithfulness, the Bible says in that passage. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is a faithful witness. Listen, your wealth may leave you, your health may leave you, your spouse may leave you, your friends may leave you, your family may leave you, your associates may leave you, but I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful witness, and he will never leave you. You know this, he won't leave you if you get offended. He won't leave you, amen. He'll be with you all the way, even unto the end. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so he is never changing. People change, but Jesus doesn't, amen. He is faithful. Presidents change, law change, not God's law. The rules change, but I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ does not change. People change. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We get older. Hopefully we get wiser. I don't know that that's true. I know that I'm getting fatter, amen. But people change. Understand that? I'm glad that we serve a God that the Bible says he was the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same forever. He didn't learn anything that he did not know. He hasn't forgotten anything that he did not know. And there's not anything that he does not need to know. He will never change. He is a faithful God. Ain't that a blessing? I'm thankful that he's faithful. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Listen, from Adam until now, every witness except one has failed in one way or the other. But I'm glad that our great Savior, our faithful witness, will not fail. I want to give you some Bible examples of people who are far more faithful than I'll ever be. But in doing so, I want to show you that even in their faithfulness, they failed to be the faithful witness. There's only one. Some of these we've mentioned a few times already this weekend. But think first of all about Noah, if you will. Noah, the Bible talks about the things that Noah did. He preached and he labored faithfully to build an ark to the exact specifications that God required. I want you to think about this for a moment. Noah lived nowhere near the ocean. He lived nowhere near the sea. And he had never one time ever, and not just in his lifetime, but ever in the history of the of God creating the heaven and the earth, never had it rained upon the earth. And yet God told Noah, he said, there's going to be a flood. He said, there's a flood going to come. I'm going to open the fountains of the deep, and I'm going to open the fountains above, and I'm going to flood this world in judgment, and I want you to build an ark to your safety. I'm glad that Noah worked and he labored all of those years, and Noah believed that he was a faithful witness for God for those years, and when the ark was concluded, we talked about that this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ invited him to come into the ark. Those of you who are in finances or know something about financial things, you'll like this statement. It was at this time that Noah floated his assets while all the other world liquidated theirs. Amen. He got on that ark when he was asked to come in, and he went into that ark, and he got on that ark as God had required for him to do. After being on the ark for a little over a year, everything died out, and Noah, for some crazy reason, decided to get wet.
He got on the ark. He avoided the flood. He was on the flood while all the water was abating. And after he got off of that ark, for some reason, Noah decided to get drunk. And so here we have a man who was faithful for a number of years. He did a great thing for God. He did more for God than I'll ever do. He was more faithful in his life, as far as we can tell in the Bible, that I will ever be. But I want to tell you something, friend. He came up short in the long run. I'm glad that Jesus Christ has always been and always will be faithful. There's never been a trial. There's never been a heartache. There's never been a temptation. And there's never been a victory that caused our Lord Jesus Christ to want to have a drink. He is the faithful witness. Amen. Then we think about Abraham. We move on in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, and we come to a man named Abram in Genesis chapter number 12. This is a story or a message for a different time. After he began tithing, God tied a ham onto his end of his name and began to call him Abraham. But here's Abraham. Here's a man. He's a faithful man. In fact, the Bible says to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, he said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you." Listen, Abraham at this time, he's about 75 years old. He took off without questioning God. He took off without asking God. He didn't even have any idea where he was going. He just believed God's word, and he took off doing what God wanted him to do. You know, on three occasions in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 7, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 8, and James chapter 2 and verse 23, Abraham is called a friend of God. Listen, friend, I want to be honest with you for a moment. We have a lot of acquaintances. We all of us in our circle of life, we have a lot of acquaintances, but we have few friends. And on three occasions in the Bible, God called Abraham a friend of God. You know, the only thing I can say about that is, wow, what a testimony. Wouldn't it be great when I stand before God one day, when you stand before God one day, if the Lord Jesus Christ could say to his father, "This is Tim Crotts. He is my friend." Wouldn't that be a blessing? He said that about Abraham on three occasions. But you know what? But when Abraham thought his life was in danger, he lied to save his own life. Abraham did things that I would never be able to accomplish. More faithful than I'll ever be. I wouldn't have wanted to be Abraham's wife, would you? And so here he is. He's a man that was faithful for all of those years. But when it came time to save his own skin, he lied to save his life. My friend, this man named Jesus, he is the faithful witness. Never has it ever crossed his mind under any circumstances at all to tell a lie. In fact, he came to die, my friend. He certainly didn't come to tell a lie. Then we talk about David. We mentioned David a few times this morning. Here's a man that's chosen. Here's a man that's selected. Here's a man that's been anointed king over Israel by God himself. You know, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 4, and also in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 3. I want you to think about this just a moment. The Bible says there in those two verses, making reference to David, this is not a verbatim quote. You can read the verses, but this is what it says. David's heart was perfect with the Lord. Mike, can you imagine having that kind of testimony about yourself? Here's a man that God has placed in this position to be the next king of Israel. Here's a man who is a shepherd boy. Here's a man who is a lion killer and a giant killer and a bear killer. And God said, I believe one of the greatest things about him is God said his heart is perfect with the Lord. Listen, man, don't you want that kind of testimony? What a great blessing to have that kind of testimony. You know, the Lord himself said about David in 1 Kings chapter number 14 and verse number 8, David, the Lord himself said this about David. He said, he followed me with all of his heart. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 22 that God gave this testimony concerning David. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. My goodness, here's a man who had a perfect heart towards the Lord. Here's a man, the Bible says, who in his heart was a man after God's own heart. And in spite of these great testimonies given on behalf of David, one woman turned David's heart away from God. I want you to listen to me just a minute, friend. Don't despair. There's one whose heart has never been turned, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness. Friend, we could go on and on. How about Elijah? Man, what a bold man. What a bold prophet in the Old Testament. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 21, the Bible says, and Elijah came into all the people, and he said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know how the prophets of Baal, they cut themselves, and they cried and they begged and they pleaded, and their God would not answer. Elijah mocked them. He made fun of them. He said, is your God asleep? Is your God dead? Is your God gone? What's wrong with your God? And Abraham began, before he ever began to pray, he poured all those barrels of water upon the altar. He said, wait a minute, preacher, you're going to have that altar, you're going to have that sacrifice burnt with fire. And he's digging ditches around it, and he's pouring it full of water. And he prayed 63 words, and the fire of God fell, and it consumed the altar, and it lapped up all the water. And the Bible says it even lapped up all the dust. I'm talking about a man who had power with God. I'm talking about a man who could get a hold of God. Do you know what happened in the very next chapter of the book of 1 Kings? In the very next chapter in your King James Bible, we see that one wicked woman caused him to flee for his life, and he ran into the wilderness, and he begged God to take his life. Listen, friend, he was faithful for a while. He had power for a while. He done great things for a while, but something came and it hindered him. But friend, I want to tell you about a man tonight who's never been hindered, whose mind has never been turned, whose faithfulness has never altered, who not one time in his life has he ever been tempted to lie or to take a drink or to follow after a woman or to get tired and weary of the battle and beg God to die. Friend, that man is the faithful witness, and his name is Jesus Christ. What a blessing. How about Samson? We know that there's not a lot to brag about in Samson's life. He was a judge of Israel. We know that. We know that his whole life was one that was filled with unfaithfulness. But friend, I want to tell you something about this man named Samson. You know, the Bible tells us he killed all those Philistines. We know that he had, how that he wound up in the lap of Delilah. And he was an unfaithful man, but he had a faithful God. In spite of his unfaithfulness, with his eyes poked out, and with him being made sport by all of those Philistines, the Bible said there was 3,000 people upon the roof making sport of him as they laughed at him with his eyes gouged out. And the place was filled with Philistines that was laughing at him because he had denied God. They were praising their god Dagon because Samson had been delivered to them. And his hair began to grow. I like it in Judges chapter 16 and verse number 28, where Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh Lord God, this is what he said. He said, remember me. You know what God did? Hey, we got a faithful God. In spite of Samson's unfaithfulness, God remained faithful to Samson. He begged that little boy that was leading him around to put his hands on the pillars of that Colosseum. And he grabbed the pillars of that Colosseum, and he asked God to give him strength. And he pulled those pillars of that Colosseum down, and it took his life, and it killed all of those Philistines that were present. The Bible said that he killed more Philistines in his death than he killed in his life. Samson was unfaithful, but his God was not unfaithful, friend. He is the faithful witness. How about Jonah? We talk about Jonah. The Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness. We talk about Jonah. We know that Jonah was racist. We know that Jonah had a problem with the Ninevites. He didn't want to go there, and he didn't want to preach. And we know how that he wound up in the whale's belly, and the whale got sick of a sick preacher and threw the whale up on the dry, threw him up on the dry land, and he made it to Nineveh. And in spite of his unfaithfulness, God was faithful to save every single one of them Ninevites who would repent and turn to God. Listen, I'm glad that God is faithful in spite of my unfaithfulness. What a Savior. What a God. What a Creator. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. He is my faithful witness. I'll mention just a few things quickly. Maybe five things that Jesus was faithful in. And there are many more. Jesus was faithful in his birth. He fulfilled every single prophecy concerning his birth that's recorded in Scripture. If there had been one single prophecy about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ that was not fulfilled, he would not be the faithful witness. I'm glad, friend, he fulfilled every detail. He fulfilled every prophecy. He fulfilled everything concerning his birth to the letter. He is the faithful witness. Second of all, Jesus was faithful in his life. He resisted every temptation. You read in your Bible in Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 4. You can read about how that he was tempted and yet he never sinned. Pilate declared in John chapter 19 in verse number 6, he was at the mock trial and Pilate said, I find no fault in him. You know what I can say tonight as Pilate did? I can say about my faithful witness, I find no fault in him. I find plenty of fault in myself, like Noah and Abraham and David and Jonah and Samson. There's much to fault about in me. I'm bad friend. I've got a kinsman redeemer and there's no fault in him. He is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus was such a faithful witness. He told Pilate in John chapter 14, verse number 9, he said, he that has seen the Father hath seen me, or he that has seen me has seen the Father. He is claiming equality with the Father. And of course, we know that Jesus is God. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. We have a faithful Savior. Ain't that a blessing? He is a faithful witness. He was declaring that I am just like him. We are one in the same, speaking of God. He resisted provision. He resisted power. He resisted prominence on earth to remain the faithful witness. Friend, he was faithful in his birth. He was faithful in his life. He was faithful in death. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse number 41, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He proceeded from there to suffer. He proceeded to bleed, and he proceeded to die for your sins and for mine, remaining faithful to not only his Father, but also to you and I. You remember reading during that passage, those Roman soldiers who beat him, who nailed him to a cross, who crucified him. One even rammed a spear through his side. And Jesus' last cry, as he loving those men who were putting him to death, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know why a man would do that? Because he is the faithful witness. Amen. What a blessing. He is faithful in his life, faithful in his birth, faithful in his death. He's faithful in his promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20 says, for all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. We need not worry about a single promise he has made us. They'll all come to pass. Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 10, verse 23 says, for he is faithful that promised. Sarah judged him faithful. Many judged him faithful. Hebrews 11, 11 says that Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. He's faithful in his promises. For he's going to be faithful in his return. You know, I know he's going to be faithful in his return because he's been faithful in everything else. I have no reason to doubt it. People are growing weary of the preaching of the return of Christ. Friend, he's still coming, whether you're growing weary or not. He's coming. He'll be faithful in his return. You know, we're speaking right now, it's talking about the rapture, but he's going to be faithful in his return. The very last promise recorded in Scripture in Revelation chapter 22, Jesus said, surely I come quickly. I have no doubt about it. I know that he will because the Bible testifies of his faithfulness. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Listen, he's been faithful in his past. He's faithful now. There's no reason for us to doubt that he will not be faithful in the future. Here's just some side things. He was faithful to save me when I called upon him. Is that a blessing? He's faithful to save you if you've called upon him. He will be faithful to save you if you'll call upon him. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he's faithful to give life to those who put their faith and their trust in them. What a blessing that is. I want to tell you something else, friend. I'll tell you this. He's a faithful God. You know what that means? That means if you reject him as your Savior, if you refuse to receive him as your Savior, that same faithful God that'll be faithful to save you if you trust him tonight will be faithful to put you in hell when you die lost without him. He's a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. In John chapter 3, verse number 18, the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:36 says that you're already under the wrath of God. You're not waiting to be condemned. You're not waiting to be under his wrath. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're already under the wrath of God. You're already condemned. And the faithful God that will save you when you put your faith and trust in him, if you die without trust in him, that same faithful God will put you in hell. He's a faithful witness. We like the good things about that. We don't like the bad things about it. But he's faithful. Christ was faithful to proclaim the gospel message to whosoever will. He preached to the rich. He preached to the poor. He preached to the moral. He preached to the immoral. He preached to the elite. He preached to the common people. What a preacher, amen. John chapter 3, he preached to that moral, upright, religious man, Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. In John chapter 4, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He needed to do that because there was an adulterous woman there who had five husbands, and the man she was living with now is not her husband. And Jesus sat on that well and preached to her, and she believed him. She left her water pot and went through the city and said, come see a man that told me all that ever I knew. Is not this Jesus the Christ? Amen. It is. He's the faithful witness. Amen. In John chapter 5, that impotent man sat by the well. Jesus come by and he said, he asked him a question. The man said, I have no man to put me in the water. Jesus said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. In John chapter 8, Jesus is the defender of the weak. They brought that adulterous woman to him, and they was wanting him to have her accused or put to death. They was trying to stump him, trying to get him to say something so they could accuse him. And he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And while he was writing in the ground, all of her accusers went away. Jesus got up and turned to her and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a preacher. He's a faithful witness. John chapter 9, Jesus heals the man that was born blind. I like that. That religious crowd, they were having a fit. They said, who is this man trying to heal thee on the Sabbath day? What in the world's going on? He claims to be God. That old blind man, I like what he said. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But whereas I was blind, now I see. You know why? Because he's a faithful witness. Amen. What a blessing. John chapter 11, Lazarus, his friend, is in the grave. He's dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Mary and Martha, they're whining and complaining. Though he's 4 days late, he's right on time because he's the faithful witness. In Luke chapter 18, a faithful witness proclaimed the gospel message to a rich young ruler who claimed to have kept the law. Luke chapter 19, he proclaimed the gospel message to the rich publican named Zacchaeus, who had no moral or ethical standards. He'll preach to anyone, and he'll offer his salvation to anyone because he is the faithful witness. When I was lost, he was faithful in getting the gospel to me. When I repented toward God and put my faith in Jesus Christ, he saved me. When I was living my life only for myself, even after I had already been saved, he was still my faithful witness. Now that I try and fail often, miserably to serve him, though I try sincerely, he remains faithful. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He remains my faithful witness. 1 John 1, 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. In the future when I die, or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory, whichever happens first, I have no doubt that he'll remain faithful. You know how I know that? We go all the way back to that psalm that we started at on Friday night. In Psalm 23, the very last verse of that psalm says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know why I know that without a shadow of a doubt? Because he is the faithful witness. Amen. He's my faithful witness. Now let's look at a couple more things. We got a few more minutes, I hope. Look at John, Revelation chapter 3. By the way, that was just point number one. We have 3 points. Don't worry. I'm not going to try to preach the other two. I'm just going to mention them to you. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1, he's the faithful witness. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14, he's the faithful and true witness. Look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, each one of these 7 churches here in the book of Revelation that are written to, they are addressed by a different title for the same Savior. I think it's a really interesting thing that when we get to the Laodicean church, the last church to be addressed, in fact, the Lord didn't have a single thing good to say about the church of Laodicea. Not one thing did he have to say about them whatsoever that was good. In fact, it seems like the one that they seemingly they have gone into complete apostasy. You know, the last part of the message to the church of the Laodiceans, Jesus is actually on the outside knocking on the door trying to get in. They have gone into complete apostasy, and yet the title that is given for the Savior in writing to this church of the Laodiceans is the faithful and true witness. Now, here's what I find interesting. Israel failed to be a faithful witness to God. The church, in the day that you and I live as a whole, has failed to be a faithful witness to God. If you and I will be honest, you have failed to be a faithful witness to God. I have failed to be a faithful witness to God. But in spite of that, our Savior, the faithful witness, has not only remained faithful, but faithful and true. Amen. What a great God. Now, let's look at one more. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Now, I can't talk much about Revelation chapter 19. I'll be running around the building and y'all think I've gone Pentecostal. But I'm telling you, I'll tell you something. I'm leaving here one day real soon. My Savior's coming to get me and I'm going to be with him. And about 7 years later, I'm coming back with him. And this dear lady's afraid to ride a horse, but one of these days she's going to ride one. And we're going to ride one with him. Now, look what the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. The Bible said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called, look what he's called, faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. The end of that tribulation period, the one called faithful and true is coming back to this earth to punish his enemies. And here's what I like. Finally, there's going to be a king. We're going to have a leader. We're going to have a president. You can call him whatever you want to call him. Nobody's going to vote him into office. Nobody's going to vote him out of office. Nobody's going to have an opinion. He is going to be the ruler, the leader, and you and I are going to be, he's going to come. He's going to fight a battle. He's going to win a war, just the battle of Armageddon, just by speaking his word. We're not going to do anything but just say, praise the Lord. Wonderful. Look at my Savior go. Amen. Hallelujah. He's faithful. You believe that, preacher? That's a fairy tale. No, you watch too much TV. My Bible is real. Amen. My Savior's coming to get me. I'm coming back with him. He's a faithful witness, friend. What a faithful God. I want to read this. The first verse that I mentioned, other than my text verse tonight, was Proverbs 14 and verse number 5. And I only mention part of that verse, and that is this: a faithful witness will not lie. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to close tonight by reading you a story about a boy. I want to read you a story about a boy. In fact, the story is called William's Truthful Christmas. I want you to listen closely, if you will, so you'll understand the story. It begins like this. The story begins with William in church, listening half-heartedly to the sermon, until his attention is caught and his imagination is fired by a challenge to cast aside all deceit and hypocrisy and speak the truth in love. William determines to give it a try over Christmas. The Brown family are to spend Christmas with Uncle Frederick and Aunt Emma. On Christmas Day, William opens his presents in his bedroom and is immediately disillusioned by the uninspiring presents he receives. He gets a pen, a pencil, a ruler, an empty purse, a tie, a brush, and a comb, and the crowning insult, a book on church history. William goes downstairs. Aunt Emma asks him if he likes the book on church history. Determined to tell the truth at all cost, Williams, to the horror of his family, says no. His family accuses him of rudeness and remains unimpressed by his efforts to speak the truth and to cast aside hypocrisy. The atmosphere brightens when William produces his presents for his aunt and uncle. Aunt Emma thanks William for being so kind. William says he's not being kind. He's given her a present because his mother said he had to. His aunt somewhat coldly professes gratitude for the pincushion that he has given her. William doggedly explains that he had not spent any money on the gift. It had been left over, he says, from a rummage sale, and his mother had said he might as well give it as a present since it was faded and would not be worth keeping for the next bazaar. His uncle, in the meantime, holds up a leather purse, and with an effort of jollity, he thanks William and says, "This is a really useful present." Treading the path of truth, William explains, "It's not really useful." His uncle Jim had sent it to William's father for his birthday, but since the latch would not work, William's father had given it to William to give to Uncle Frederick. The denouncement comes later in the day when William's uncle and aunt receive a visit from Lady Atkinson, a domineering and haughty member of the elite upper class. With great condescension, she presents William's relatives with a picture of herself. How about that for pride? Then turning to William, she demands that he examine the picture. "Do you think it's very like me?" she crows. William's final offering at the altar of truth is, "It's not nearly as fat as you." Here's the moral. We cannot stand being told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We have invented 1,000 ways of conveniently blunting the sharp edge of the truth. However, the Lord, the faithful witness, has not and will not turn from the truth. In fact, Jesus exclaimed about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That same truthful Savior said, "You must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven." That same Savior I mentioned just a moment ago in verse 18 of that same passage in John chapter 3 says, "He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You better believe you're already condemned if you're not saved. If you are saved, Jesus has already given you eternal life. And we know both of those things to be true because he's the faithful witness. Thank you very much, preacher.
I'm going to read this to you. Romans chapter 1, verse number 1 says that Romans chapter 1, verse 20, not, Romans 1:19 says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, God reveals himself to us. God shows himself to us. All we have to do is look to creation to see the faithfulness of God, to see Jesus Christ. You know, brother, you said something about Jesus. And if you got a Bible, I'm not going to preach a second message here. I want to preach a second message. But he didn't read the part that I wanted him to read. So I'm going to read it to you. And I know he's following the Lord. But look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11 again. Real quick. We ain't going to be long. Go to a movie theater and watch a movie for 3 hours. We could stay here for a few more seconds here. Brethren, listen to me tonight. Listen, you talk. I'm going to read Revelation 19:11 real quick to you. And I want you to hear what I got to say now. I want you to hear what I got to say. Revelation 19:11 says this, and I saw heaven open. He read this. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. You say, preacher, that's craziness that the Bible says. I don't even believe the Bible in the first place, but then you're telling me the Bible says that that sky up there is going to open up and Jesus is going to come back on a white horse. Absolutely. When you got Fox News and all these other CNN and everybody else talking about aliens out there, Jesus is out there. Now listen tonight. You say, this is nonsense. This is craziness. What individual go watch a movie for 2 hours about a bunch of aliens that are green that inhabit Earth and so? We'll watch all kinds of crazy stuff and choose to watch it as entertainment. We believe in from a little kid talking about a man named Superman.
Sure.
Nowadays we can't figure out what kind of sex he is. Is Superman a man? Is he a woman? Is he transgender? What is Superman? We don't know nowadays. We can watch a man fly around and spit webs out of his hands and glorify him as Spider-Man. You talk about Jesus and everybody's like, Or we could talk about the Hulk back in the 80s. What was his name?
Luke Frenier, whatever his name was. Rip off all his clothes and turn green and can flip over cars.
We'll watch that for a half an hour and then get enjoyment from it. But I'm going to tell you one. Look at the rest of the verses of Revelation 19 and look at verse number 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. You see, brethren, the next time Jesus comes back, he is not coming back as a lamb, as a little baby in a manger. Everybody loves Christmas time because Jesus is cooped up in a manger. They don't want to hear about the Jesus that's coming back as the Lion of Judah. And he isn't playing no games. Look what the Bible says. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's my Jesus. That's my faithful high priest. That's my faithful Savior. Brother, thank you for that message. I just gave you a little message afterwards. Brethren, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And he's coming back someday, and he's faithful and will do so.
Yes.
Brethren, I believe in this meeting, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, God has used it for me to help me to try to focus even more. To try to focus even more on Jesus Christ and his word and staying faithful to him. Because I know one day I'm taking my last breath. I know one day if it's not my last breath, then he's coming in those clouds at some point. And we don't know when. And I don't know when I'm taking my last breath. God forbid I could be driving home tonight and get in a car accident and be pulled out of here. You say, preach it out, will never happen. I was a state trooper for a number of years and worked a lot of fatality scenes. And I guarantee you, the individuals that died in those fatality scenes, they did not think that that was their last trip in that car.
Right.
Brethren, I had two teenage girls one time, 15 years old, went to the Department of Motor Vehicles to get their learner's permit. Their mama, I don't know if she wasn't thinking right or what she was thinking, but she decided to let the one of them drive the car when she just got her learner's permit and get on the interstate. And as she's getting on the interstate, she went to merge in, but she thought the lane ended. When it didn't, went into a rest area. But she thought it ended, panicked, and swerved in front of a cement truck, which tipped over on top of her. Brethren, when I arrived on the scene to work that accident, they were still in the car. The EMS and the fire department were trying to sweep the cement out from her mama, who was in the passenger seat, because the driver's seat was about this big. The other twin daughter was sitting in the back seat behind the mama. I thought all three of them were gone. Mama ends up dying. The little girl ends up dying. And her sister ends up becoming crippled and going mentally insane. Brethren, I guarantee you that night, that day when those girls got that learner's permit, they were not thinking within 5 minutes, two of us are going off into eternity. They were probably full of joy. I got my driver's license. I got freedom coming soon. I'm going to be able to do what I want to do, not realizing I'm getting ready to face God. Brethren, those that are here tonight as visitors, I appreciate you coming. But I don't ever want this church to be like every other church. I want this church to always, listen, to always preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in truth and tell about a Savior that loves you. He cares for you. He came to die for you. He came to set you free from your sin and give you eternal life and spend all of eternity with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But like my brother said, if you reject it, He is still faithful. He is still true. And you chose to go to hell.
Right.
Jesus didn't send you there. You chose to reject Him, your only way out of hell. You chose the rejection and you chose to go there because you rejected the only way out of it. And that's through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 1, you're without excuse. There's no excuse. You're not going to be able to stand before God someday and say, I just didn't know. No, you know. You know, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? I don't want to play games no more. Not that I was playing games now, but I'm done with playing games. This time is short. And I know a lot of preachers, oh yeah, this blah, blah, preacher talk, time is short. Brethren, time's short. Our country's going crazy quick. Our country's going crazy real quick.
Yes,
quick. These last year and a half. Where are you at with Jesus? He loves you. He died for you. Are you willing to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you willing to come to Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for this precious brother. Lord, I thank you for salvation. Lord, I thank you for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, dear God, that He was willing to go to the cross of Calvary. Lord, that He was willing to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Lord, I thank you for that, dear God. Lord, I thank you that tonight I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am perfect in Christ in my spirit. And I thank you for that, dear Lord. Lord, I pray tonight, dear God. I've been praying this whole week, dear Lord, coming into these meetings, dear God. Lord, if there's someone here tonight, that someone was here this morning, someone here Friday night and Saturday night, Lord, if there was someone here during these meetings, dear God, that didn't know you, Lord, I pray, Lord, you open their eyes, Lord. I pray you'd get their attention. I pray you'd open their ears. Lord, you're calling out, dear God. I pray that they listen and respond. God, help us that are saved, Lord, to stay faithful to you, Lord. Help us to put on the armor of God daily and go forward and fight the good fight of faith till you call us home someday, dear God. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the food we have to eat, Lord. Thank you for the clothes we got to wear, Lord. Thank you for shoes on our feet, dear Lord. Thank you, dear God, that almost everybody in this room, I believe, can look and see with their eyes. Thank you, Lord, that we can hear with our ears. Thank you, Lord. I don't think there's anybody here tonight that's mute, Lord, but thank you that we can speak and talk with our tongues. God, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. God, you're worthy of it. Lord, we pray these things all now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to close with a song here tonight, page number 186. Page number 186 in the blue hymn book, if you're able to stand. Page number 186. Page number 186, if you're able to stand. And can it be?
Thank you. out tonight. Yes. Thank you, brother, again for being here with us. We're going to miss you. We thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Messages that you preach. Let's go ahead and put the Lord in prayer. Amen. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity tonight. Lord, thank you for these precious songs that we can sing.
Yes.
Lord, I'm so glad someday, dear God, I'm going to get to come down here to this earth on a white horse.
Yes.
Lord, I'm looking forward to that day, dear God.
Amen.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that day, Lord, where everything is done right. Everything is done righteously. Lord, you'll be ruling and reigning from there in Jerusalem, Lord. I can't wait for that day. God, help us to stay faithful to that day, Lord. Help us to be about your business, dear God. Help us to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, again, if anybody's lost here tonight, dear God, they don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray you wouldn't leave them alone, Lord. Bring conviction upon them. So God, open our eyes to the truth and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. Keep the enemy at bay. Lord, help that quickening ray of light, dear God, shine into their heart. They see the need of salvation. Help us now, Lord, as we leave out this church, dear God, keep us safe on the roadways. Lord, if we got to go to work tomorrow, Lord, pray you watch over those that have to travel to work. Lord, just help us to stay faithful to you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen. And welcome.